they call them in Bioneers. Thank you so much for joining us today, Artie.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay, take care. And our guest tomorrow is going to be Lydia Nielsen, and we will be talking about sequestering CO2 in the soil, which Artie brought up very briefly. This show has been sponsored in part by Renovations, home of extraordinary design and remodeling. They're proud to boast being the first green certified business in Carmel Valley. Through sustainable designs, Renovations promises to bring beauty and value beyond expectation, on time and on budget, guaranteed. Give Renovations a call at 831-620-1700 or visit Renovations on their website at renovations.net. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to. We have to, because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. There was a big celebration outside the California Supreme Court today. That after the High Court overturned the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has reaction.
At San Francisco City Hall, hundreds of gay and lesbian couples gathered to celebrate their victory and to listen to Mayor Gavin Newsom.
What a day in San Francisco! What a day for America!
But not everyone is happy. Bill May is with Catholics for the Common Good.
I'm dismayed, disappointed. The court just overturned the will of the people and also turned their backs on every child that needs a mother and a father.
The court's ruling goes into effect in 30 days. Steve Futterman, CBS News, outside the state Supreme Court in San Francisco.
A federal grand jury in Los Angeles has indicted a Missouri woman for allegedly pretending to be a teenaged boy online.
This adult woman allegedly used the internet to target a young teenage girl with horrendous ramifications.
U.S. Attorney Thomas O'Brien.
After a thorough investigation, we have charged Ms. Drew with criminally accessing MySpace and violating rules established to protect young and vulnerable people.
The woman, Lori Drew, allegedly used the name of a boy to contact the 13-year-old girl, who later committed suicide after receiving cruel messages on the social networking site. Congress has now passed that big farm bill that includes more subsidies for farmers and additional money for food stamps because of rising food prices. The president has threatened to veto the bill. It's worth $290 billion. He calls it irresponsible. There are enough votes to override a veto. The House today voted down more money for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Republicans and Democrats accusing each other of political maneuvering.
It was a political scheme. We wanted to expose it, and we did.
Republicans chose to continue to play political games. That's unfortunate.
Most Democrats voted against the funding. Many Republicans sat out the vote in protest and ended up killing it. The Senate takes it up next week. In northern Iraq today, U.S. and Iraqi troops began house-to-house searches in what could be the start of a major operation to sweep out Sunni extremists and al-Qaeda in Iraq. CBS News military analyst, retired Army Major Mike Lyons.
If the Iraqi forces can take control of this city, it really allows us to go into a full overwatch position in all of the major cities around Iraq, and in the coming months gives the administration real legitimacy to start drawing down troops and possibly bringing them home by the fall.
Some locals say the pre-search warnings sent al-Qaeda fleeing or into hiding. If you're like many Americans, you'll be staying closer to home over the Memorial Day holiday. AAA's Mark Brown said today that gas prices make road trips too expensive.
This drop of nearly 1% is the first year-to-year decrease in Memorial Day travel we've seen in many years.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 94 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coop from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coop, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
At Mercedes-Benz, every certified pre-owned vehicle comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles, ensuring that every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
China now says the death toll from this week's earthquake could reach 50,000. CBS News reporter Celia Hatton in Mianyang watched survivors drift into the city of 5 million to a refugee camp.
It really was quite a distressing sight. Many people were incredibly dirty. They had no shoes. They looked very hungry. I saw several people who were sobbing, crying as they were walking and they disappeared into the crowd. Many people, most people at the sports stadium, are looking for lost relatives.
Chinese officials are appealing for donations of big equipment to search for victims, but even hammers and nails as well. Heavy storms have been pounding Louisiana and Mississippi today. In Folsom, just north of New Orleans, Pete Drago describes the damage.
We got a barn halfway in the middle of our road. It doesn't have a roof no more. All the horse fences have trees on them. All of our road had trees on them. Power lines got knocked down. I mean, you name it, it happened.
And thousands are still without power. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. That's why every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Only then is it worthy of the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000 mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Annoying allergies? Why take Claritin when you can switch to Allivert? Allivert has the same allergy relief ingredient as Claritin, but Allivert costs a lot less. Claritin can't beat the strength of Allivert, and quick-dissolving Allivert bursts into action the instant you take it, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. So stick it to your allergies. Experience the relief and value of Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Our official pronouncer has misled you slightly. We are live, but not from San Francisco today. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Missoula, Montana, and the studios of our affiliate radio station, KMPT 930. And it's a beautiful day here in Missoula. I know you're cooking on the left coast. When I left Oakland this morning at 6 a.m., it was already 75 degrees, heading for triple digits around the bay. So I hope you're in a cool spot. Maybe you have a cool one. Stay with us. We've got an exciting show for you today. In just a moment, we'll meet Janet Rose, who is the director of the Wildlife Film Festival, one of the main reasons we came to Missoula today. A little bit later this hour, we'll be joined by Allison Frick from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. A lot of interesting news coming out of Washington today, and we'll update you on that. Also on the program today, we're going to congratulate Adam and Steve, because the California Supreme Court says, boys, you can get married. Well, actually, what they said is that the ban on same-sex marriage has been overturned. And I think that's an exciting development, because when I left California this morning, they said that they were anticipating the state Supreme Court decision. And I said, Ron George, would he ever overturn that ban? And I said to myself, no. And so, Chief Justice, I apologize. I misunderestimated your liberality and tolerance. Also on today's show, Scott Dick will be with us, our expert on military and veterans issues. We're going to zero in on torture and the complicity of the Pentagon generals who went on television, some of whom got a special juicy trip to Gitmo to come back and tell us just how great things are there. We'll discuss that and other issues, and the Free Speech Zone will be yours for phone calls in our third hour, coming up a little bit later on. You can call in at any time, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I haven't cracked open my email account, but I will during the first break, so you can drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or, should you disagree with your humble host, you can always email me at fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Resist the temptation to add the SH because that will go to Karl Rove, and that won't help you. fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Joining me in the studio is the executive director of the International Wildlife Film Festival, which is underway this week here in Missoula. Janet Rose, welcome to our program.
I am so delighted to be here with you. This is so much fun. It's been a long time.
Well, it's your fault, and I'm glad, because I have a chance to reconnect with my good radio friend, Nancy Walton. We worked together in the 80s in San Francisco,
Hey. And
she's talked to me about Montana for so many years, and I'm just glad to be here and check it out for myself. And I'm looking forward to attending some events tonight and then the award ceremony tomorrow at the Wildlife Film Festival. Let's get a little history here. First, about Janet Rose. You escaped from New York, where you worked behind a microphone
I sure did, for an awful lot of years. I started at the age of 21 as a news director in New York City. I don't know how many people remember the mellow sound. Then we went to disco. Then I went to all news. And then I went to investigative television reporting.
Wow.
And here I am.
And what prompted your escape from Gotham City to beautiful big sky country?
Well, you know, to be very honest with you, it was the lure of wildlife. It was the lure of wildlife and the opportunity to play, hopefully, a significant role in wildlife conservation. When I left television in the probably mid-90s, and I went to the Wildlife Conservation Society in New York, one of the most renowned institutions in the world, and I was the head of communications for them, and then finally had enough of, we'll just say, the bureaucratic quagmire, and had an opportunity to lead an organization here in Missoula. And already had a lot of relationships, because Missoula is one of the wildlife capitals of the country.
Yeah.
The University of Montana has one of the premier forestry programs, premier wildlife biology programs, of course other areas as well, but those are two that are noted around the world. A lot of researchers who work all over the world are here in Missoula. And I want you to know this name, Missoula.
Yeah.
When Barack Obama was here recently, he loved that name. He said, "You people have a very cool city, Missoula." I mean, it's pretty, I love it when I call information, they're always like, "Can you spell that, please?"
There are two S's in Missoula.
Although there are some places where they love to say Missoula.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun name, and it's a fantastic city. It's one of the most well-kept secrets, I think, in the nation. Now, don't all come here.
Yeah. You've got some Californians here.
Got a lot of Californians.
Doesn't our action movie star governor have a summer residence around
here?
Well,
that's a new one on me.
And Huey Lewis of Lewis and the News?
Huey Lewis is, I mean, there are so many, 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 many celebrities from all over the country who have homes here and are in and out pretty frequently. Andy McDowell used to be a neighbor of mine. But
really?
I don't want to drop names here. We're not here to drop names. And Bill Clinton was here yesterday. So
I would pay a few $100 just to have a Coke with Andy McDowell. I think that'd be fun.
I have no comment on that one.
And the proper reference for a local resident is Missoulan or Missoulian?
Oh, a Missoulian.
Missoulian.
Okay. Missoulian. But that's only Missoula. I mean, you know, there's so many counties that are all very important around here. I mean, everyone knows the, you know, river runs through it. We're talking about the Blackfoot River Valley, one of the most beautiful areas in the world. When the Rolling Stones played Missoula recently at the University of Montana, they said, one of them, I think it was Keith Richards, who said, "I want to buy a place here." So this is a very cool place, I want you to know.
Yeah. And do you miss the wildlife from the Bronx?
No. Not a bit. Not one iota.
Now, the Wildlife Film Festival is celebrating its 31st anniversary.
It is, and it is the oldest. It was the first wildlife film festival in the world, and the only one founded by a renowned wildlife biologist, a bear biologist, actually, Dr. Charles Jonkel, It was at the University of Montana, and a group of students, an executive, I believe, from the Canadian Broadcasting Company, who was a friend, and Chuck Jonkel, founded the film festival. And it started out as an all-volunteer film festival, very small. It's still not the largest film festival, but I think it is one of the premier film festivals in the world. And it probably has the strongest emphasis and focus on conservation and science as well. I mean, film is certainly the centerpiece.
Right.
But it's also, it's known as a very intimate film festival. And it's one of those few film festivals where you can have major broadcasters, independent filmmakers, scientists, conservation leaders, you know, from conservation organizations, who come together. And deals are made, business is done, great projects get off the ground here, and I think it has a life of its own.
So it's Sundance with critters.
It is often called the Sundance of the wildlife film world. Indeed, you are on the money.
Janet Rose with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, or you just want to give a shout-out to Montana, you can give us a call right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, I've taken a look at some of the film offerings, and from your description about the science background here, what I pick up on is that we're you're featuring documentaries that go beyond just, you know, safaris and animal appreciation, if you will,
absolutely,
into the science issues. And, for example, we have learned today that the Bush administration has finally permitted the polar bear to be listed as an endangered species. However, there's always a finger crossed and a loophole included. They wrote the issue up in a way that will still permit drilling in the Arctic, the ANWR Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
That's a tragedy.
So talk a little bit about that intersection of animal issues, science, and the crises that we are facing and the politics of those issues.
Well, you know, I think some of that is, a great deal of that is actually reflected in the films that we're seeing now. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, in fact, the Wall Street Journal is here this week doing a story on exactly that issue, you know, the business and the evolution of wildlife films. 10, 15 years ago, it was what we call the blue chip wildlife natural history film, you know, what people are used to seeing from the BBC. Today, number one, you have tremendous crossover. You have films with wildlife may be a component of the film, but there may be a political issue, maybe an environmental issue. It's a people issue. It's a cultural issue. It's an economic issue. I mean, I think that's probably one of the most important things to say about the films that we're seeing today, the films that are being featured not only as documentaries, but feature films that are going into theatrical release. I mean, that is a huge new area.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also seeing this echoed in actual conservation on the ground, that you no longer look at wildlife or science in a vacuum as a solitary piece. You look at it in terms of the people equation, the cultural equation, the economic equation, and you have to factor all of those aspects into the film as well as into conservation, active conservation.
Mm-hmm. And Janet, how far do you go into the PETA zone? And I respect people for the ethical treatment of animals, but I also acknowledge that they are they're fairly radical. And if you put them on a continuum, they would represent the left.
Well, you know what I think is very important to know, at least about this film festival, is that we do not take a stand. We don't take a political stand. We don't lobby. We're purely educational and for awareness and information. There was a film entered this year that was quite unusual for us to accept, but this is part of that crossover. It's called Blinders, and it's about the treatment of horses in the horse carriage trade in New York City. It's an exceptional film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, PETA is interviewed. It happens to be a very well-balanced film. But we accept films as long as wildlife or animals are some part of the equation. And then we have the most rigorous judging process in the world. It takes something like 100 preliminary judges and 6 final judges who come in from around the world. So the staff and the organization have nothing to do directly with the judging process.
Mm-hmm.
It's hundreds of hours of review of every single film entry. I know that most film festivals, they watch 10 minutes and then they say yay or nay.
Right.
I mean, this is any filmmaker who enters a film in this film festival, they're going to get an earful or a readful from the judge's comments. But so it may be a film about wildlife conservation. It may be a film about, you know, radical wildlife politics. But it may also just be a film about the straight science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what makes, partly what makes it such a unique film festival.
We're talking with Janet Rose here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm live from Missoula, Montana, and this is the scene of the International Wildlife Film Festival in its 31st year. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
yeah, we could play more commercials, but oh, heck. I'm here in Missoula, Montana with Janet Rose, having a great time. Beautiful day in Big Sky Country. And if you have a comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Janet Rose is the executive director of the International Wildlife Film Festival. And, Janet, just during the break, you told us about a very exciting program for young people who come to Missoula and learn filmmaking and wildlife appreciation all at the same time.
Absolutely. We have the Montana Film Academy. And it started out as just a local program, and now students from all over the country can come to Missoula and they learn wildlife filmmaking. They spend a week in the field. They work with professional film instructors. They work with professional cameras. And, you know, something happens to young people when they're actually, the idea comes from inside of themselves, and they get to be up close and personal with wildlife. And they are creating the story. They are telling the story. They're working in small teams with one another, so they have to learn, you know, to work with their peers. They have to learn the whole creative process. They learn script writing and editing and shooting. And then they get to see their film on the big screen. Now, where in the world can you do that?
Wow.
So when I was out your way recently, and I was meeting with a lot of people there about film things, and we've got a number of kids coming east from California to take the film camp this summer. I mean, there's one program, it's called the Karelian Bear Dog Institute. Karelian bear dogs are trained to keep bears at bay, to repel bears. And they have a huge training program. They start with the puppies here. So the kids go to this institute, and they learn how to interview, and they film the dogs, and they learn about their whole history and background, and they make a film. And what's so cool is that each kid will come out with a very different kind of story. Somebody may do a comedy, and somebody may do something very serious. But it is such a self-esteem building program. And actually, what we are trying to do, we're so subversive. We're trying.
I like that already. Keep going.
We are trying to work with some foundations and organizations to bring a program like this to other parts of the world, so that in other parts of the world where children have these native species that are in very grave, they're endangered.
Mm-hmm.
They can learn the technology of filmmaking, and they can go into the field and then make films for their own communities, their own schools. It's going to take a lot of money with the equipment, but that's the next step. But the Montana Film Academy is actually part of our year-round organization, which so few people know about.
Now, is there still room for young people in the summer program, or is it subscribed?
Mm-hmm. No, there are a few spots left. I mean, each week we do something else. It could be the Karelian Bear Dog Institute. It could be the Bison Range. It could be learning about owls. There are a number of wolf programs. So there's really quite a variety. They may learn about watersheds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally, if they're coming from out of town, they have to come with their families. We're not a sleepaway camp yet. Next year.
But, and your website is, if people want to get more information?
Wildlifefilms.org. It's all one word, plural.
Mm-hmm. Wildlifefilms.org. And Janet Rose, you just mentioned that you're working to expand beyond this one-week festival each year to have an ongoing presence. Tell us about that.
We're the first international wildlife media center in the country, I believe. Among the resources that we have, and this was part of how it became a year-round program, we do another film festival in the fall called Montana Cine, which stands for Cultural Issues of Nature and the Environment. So social issues, political issues, but related to the environment, because we were seeing so many films that came in that did not meet our criteria, but that were still very relevant to the whole natural world. So we have a fall film festival as well. We have a library of thousands of wildlife films that span the last 25 to 30 years. And these films are available for rent. The public can borrow them. Organizations host post-festival tours. We've had tours all over the country and all over the world. And so we have an online searchable database. Then people contact our staff. We put together a post-festival tour. And You have your own film festival.
Wow, this is exciting. And Janet, what is the bright spot for you, or the, you know, the moment of this year's festival that you'd like to share with us?
Well, we launched a new initiative called the Tarkio Retreat to forge new partnerships between media and conservation. And that Tarkio Retreat has taken off like wildfire. It's hit a chord in the hearts of filmmakers and conservation leaders. And but I think every day is a bright spot, because people come away saying, I'm re-inspired, I'm hopeful. New projects are coming out of this festival every year, projects that are going to benefit conservation, but they use media as the foundation.
Yeah.
And so I'd say every day is pretty bright.
Wildlifefilms.org, the website of the International Wildlife Film Festival. Janet Rose, thanks for inviting us here.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Allison Frick at the Center for American Progress. She'll update us on the progress report today. And we've just learned that later on in the program, we'll be joined by Earth Justice attorney Clayton Jernigan, who's going to talk to us about the designation of the polar bear as an endangered species. I'm Peter B. Collins in Missoula, Montana.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson you can consider it solved. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Bible says humans were created in the image of God. But what about... space aliens. The Vatican now has something to say about that. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Sam. It's one thing to know the next 1 billion mobile phone subscribers are only a few years away. It's quite another for your network to actually handle that. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so Emerson can supply the backup technologies that ensure millions upon millions of calls will keep going through. Emerson anticipates customers' needs, so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Annoying allergies? Why take Claritin when you can switch to Allivert? Allivert has the same allergy relief ingredient as Claritin, but Allivert costs a lot less. Claritin can't beat the strength of Allivert, and quick-dissolving Allivert bursts into action the instant you take it, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. So stick it to your allergies. Experience the relief and value of Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
In the beginning, well, you know that story, but maybe you wondered what it would mean for us humans if we weren't alone in the heaven and the earth. What if there were others out there? It's been the stuff of science fiction for years. Now it's the stuff of religious doctrine. Jose Gabriel Funes, the Jesuit director of the Vatican Observatory, is quoted as saying, "The vastness of the universe means it's possible there could be other forms of life outside Earth, even intelligent ones." In an interview with the Vatican newspaper, Funes says that such a notion doesn't contradict our faith, because aliens would still be God's creatures. He says ruling out the existence of aliens would be like putting limits on God's creative freedom. Funes says he still believes in God the Creator. It's just that in addition to Adam and Eve, it's possible God could have created Alfar and Eve Brizzlyflex on another planet far, far away. Now, this is sure to spark some interesting theological discussions, which I'm not qualified to lead, but it's interesting to see how far the Roman Catholic Church has come from the days when someone like the astronomer Galileo could be persecuted for advancing the then zany notion that the Earth moved around the sun. Now we have the director of the Vatican Observatory suggesting E.T. may indeed be out there, and he or she or it could be another of God's creatures. That's something to phone home about. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Molina Guest Home in Watsonville reminds us the care and support of our older Americans is a year-round concern. If you're aware of a senior living alone, please check regularly on their health and safety. Any assistance you can lend, a trip shopping, an invitation to dinner, or even a simple visitor call can help assure their safety and make a difference in the joy they experience in everyday life. This message from Molina Guest Home in Watsonville. Remember, love is ageless, and growing older should always be graceful.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Missoula, Montana today and tomorrow. We're at the studios of KMPT AM 930. And I want to thank Dave Cowan and the entire team here for hosting us in beautiful Missoula. And that warm weather you're experiencing on the left coast has drifted inward. I flew up from Salt Lake City, having changed planes there. Lots of snow-capped peaks. But here at ground level, we're 75, maybe 80 degrees today and heading into the 90s over the weekend. And I'm sure that sounds even better than what you're sweltering under in California today. But I hope you have a cool spot and you're enjoying listening to our program today. Scott Dick will join us next hour. We're going to talk about a number of issues related to the military and the ongoing occupation of Iraq. Every week we check in with the folks at the Progress Report. That's a daily newsletter that comes by email from the Center for American Progress in Washington. They do a great job, lots of good information, analysis, and when you get it in the email, it's got links to the original sources so that you can see the underlying information for yourself. If you'd like to receive it free every day, just log on to progressreport.org, give them your email, and it's as easy as that. Allie Frick joins us from the Progress Report today. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And why don't you complete the weather scene here? What's Washington like today?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I have not left the office today, so I'm not sure. It was sunny when I came in this morning.
And it's 6:30 in Washington. After this, I want you to go outside, okay?
I plan on it. Thanks.
You need to experience that. Before we get to some of the stories you covered in the Progress Report today, I just got an alert here from the Washington Post that the House of Representatives, in a surprise and largely symbolic move, defeated legislation intended to fund the war in Iraq for another year. And it has sent to the Senate a controversial troop withdrawal plan that will give the Senate an opportunity to restore the money for waging the conflict. This is a very interesting maneuver, and my listeners have been very critical of the Democrats for offering even more money and for a longer period of time than the Bush administration has asked for. So a large group of anti-war Democrats like Maxine Waters, who talked with us last week, voted against giving $162.5 billion to continue Iraq and Afghanistan through mid-2009, and the vote was 149 to 141. And 132 Republicans voted present, which is an interesting parliamentary maneuver. Mm-hmm. Allie, any inside scoop you can offer on this? This is the first I've seen of this, so I'm just absorbing it myself.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that the Republicans, their strategy, their current strategy is basically just to run away from their own legacy. So they know that the war is not only a losing proposition and that it cannot be militarily won, but they also realize that it's a losing proposition with the American voters. So it seems to me that the latest strategy is just a way of their kind of misguided attempt to try to pin the war onto the Democrats. Now, this is obviously a laughable attempt because we all know that the legacy for the war rests solely in the laps of the Republicans. And, you know, the Republican House that stamped every single thing that Bush has wanted for the last 7 years. So.
Well, but we can't let facts get in the way, Allie, because we're hearing Republican talking points that high gasoline prices are the fault of the Democrats. So
right.
They're going to blame everything on Democrats that isn't popular with the American people.
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, you know, that Congress has low approval ratings for a lot of the reasons that you already brought up in terms of even Democrats being frustrated. So
well, and the
able
other thing
to
is
kind of try to pin those poll ratings to the Democrats.
We can also smell the fear from Republican leaders right now.
Right.
We've lost 3 out of 3 of these special elections for the House. Illinois, the Hastert seat, Louisiana, and Mississippi, both long-held Republican seats that have been won by Democrats in recent weeks, despite the use of Karl Rove media tactics, which tried to link these Democratic congressional candidates with Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. And I guess they've gotten tired of linking them to Osama.
Right, exactly. You know, they're grasping at straws here, and it's heartening to see a little bit, although, of course, when the Republicans are grasping, that's when often the most cynical, dirty tactics come out. So I think we're just starting to see the beginning of these distraction ploys.
Allie Frick is with us from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lead story in the Progress Report today is one that I think is extremely important and one that progressives need to keep the heat on, because the corporate media doesn't want you to know about this, and they do not want to expose their own complicity in the way they worked with the Pentagon before the war and during the particularly the first year. To insert generals and other retired officers into the media. It was kind of this reverse embed. We know that journalists got embedded with troops in Iraq, but here we had generals embedded with so-called journalists on American television. And we learned yesterday from Media Matters that they have been able to identify 4,500 different appearances by these retired military men, and they're all men, in the media. And we know that they were recruited by Rumsfeld. They were regularly fed talking points favorable to the administration. And yet we have seen that absent the PBS NewsHour interview with our colleague John Stauber, there has been virtually no coverage on the television networks about this. Is that blackout pretty much holding, would you say, Allie?
Yeah, it does. It very frustratingly seems to be holding. You know, it took a while also for reporters to even ask Dana Perino, White House press secretary, about the story. So it seems that the White House is kind of successfully able to just keep this quiet and under the rug. And luckily, you have a lot of online publications, a lot of blogs really continuing to push the story. And that's what we tried to do with the Progress Report, is just remind people that even if media outlets aren't fessing up to their own complicity in this, you know, Pentagon propaganda scheme, that it is an important story and we should be talking about it. And
it goes beyond, and I'm not trying to minimize that misleading the American people and having generals deliver these talking points through the media without identifying their connections, without identifying the source of those talking points, and most importantly, not disclosing the relationships that most of these men have with military contractors, who,
right,
of course, have benefited incredibly from these misguided military and foreign policy decisions. And not only that, Allie, we know that it is flatly illegal, that every Pentagon spending bill since the Cold War, back in the McCarthy era, the 1950s, has included language that explicitly prohibits the Pentagon from disseminating propaganda in the United States. Now, I have problems with them being a propaganda machine anywhere in the world, but the law is explicit that they're not allowed to do it to us. And yet Rumsfeld just blew past the warnings that people gave him in the Pentagon that this would be illegal. And to date, the corporate media is not willing to pursue the issue because it leads to exposure of their own complicity.
Right. And, I mean, I completely agree with you. At the same time, you know, unfortunately, as horrific as this might be, it's no surprise that something that was illegal was no impediment to Donald Rumsfeld and to the White House. just because there's a law saying they're not supposed to do these things to American citizens has not prevented them from a whole host of other activities, including illegal wiretaps, suspending habeas corpus, keeping American citizens locked up on a naval brig for years without a lawyer. All of these things are flagrantly illegal, and that's never stopped them in the past. And this incredible expose by the New York Times is really just the latest, the latest evidence of the Bush administration's total disrespect for the American law.
And Allie Frick, in the progress report today, you advanced the story. This is news for me, and I'm proud to give you credit for it because I've been watching this story very carefully. But there appears to be a link to the White House. You cite a March 2006 email from a Pentagon official named Dallas Lawrence, and he referenced a closed call, I guess a conference call, mm-hmm. open only to our retired military analysts to get them on message heading into the weekend on Iraqi troop strength, advances, etc. A follow-up from an anonymous emailer said he or she was hoping to have Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, brief these guys next week. And in responding to the email, this Dallas Lawrence added, "I'd love to see if we could get them in with POTUS." That's the acronym for the president as well. And I think that was submitted to Carl and Company last week. Now, this is a very significant link that shows that this was not a rogue operation at the Pentagon, that this was part of the White House Iraq group. The acronym for that is WIG, like the old political party from back in the revolutionary times. And the White House Iraq group was the same crew that met in Dick Cheney's office, often chaired by Karl Rove, and it's the same people responsible for the outing of Valerie Plame's identity as a covert CIA agent. So this is a very significant piece, Allie.
Right, it is. And, you know, the Defense Department basically earlier this week or last week, released all of the documents online that they had given in the FOIA request to the New York Times. And so all of these kind of pieces of the story are coming to light as mostly bloggers, actually, are starting to dig through these literally thousands of pages of documents. So that's just kind of another piece of this story that one of our writers was able to find by digging through these documents. And so I expect more and more of these interesting nuggets about relating to this military analyst story to continue to come up as we keep sifting through this enormous document dump from the Defense Department. And, you know, it's really no surprise that the White House was involved when this story originally broke, and Dana Perino, White House Press Secretary, was asked about it on April 30th. She called the whole thing, quote, absolutely appropriate. So it shouldn't come as a surprise, again, that the White House was treating the American public as yet just another force that could be manipulated.
Yeah. Entirely appropriate. And what the hell does she base that on? It's entirely appropriate to intentionally mislead the American people and to orchestrate this using these rent-a-generals from the Pentagon? I mean, this is a deep corruption on so many different levels.
It is. It is. There are so many different stories that evidence deep corruption by the White House. It's almost hard to keep track. It's almost hard to stay outraged about everyone, you know, the more that keep coming up.
We're talking with Allie Frick from the Center for American Progress. She's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and you can also read their up-to-the-minute coverage at thinkprogress.org, which is an interactive site with blog opportunities. And, Allie, just one more on this issue about the propaganda from the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Media Matters has a lot of direct action that people can access. If you go to mediamatters.org, it identifies members of Congress who've expressed an interest in this issue or called for hearings. But where do you see the places where our listeners can put pressure to keep this story alive and to try to shame or otherwise leverage the corporate media into covering their own sins?
I think I'm not totally sure, but I think that the best way is to keep pressuring specific media outlets. Because there have been times in the past where the media has gotten enough emails, criticism, that they've actually been forced to respond. So, for example, just the first example I can think of was after the ABC. I'm sorry, it wasn't ABC. Yes, it was. The ABC Democratic presidential debate that a lot of people thought was really egregious. So many people emailed and left comments on the ABC News website that they actually, you know, and that was a big story, and they continued to talk about it, and they specifically talked about the outrage that they had, the angry emails that they had received. So I do think that there is an option, that there is an outlet for people to keep pressuring specific media outlets. But unfortunately, and I find myself succumbing to this as well, there's a little bit of a thought that, you know, we have 239 days, or I'm sorry, maybe 100, no, 239 days left in this administration. And, you know, maybe the best outlet for our frustrated energy is to do everything possible to get a Democrat in the White House.
Well, I certainly think that's important, but I also think that we cannot just let this issue slide, because it's really critical, and we need to lay down markers on this and so many other unconstitutional behaviors of the Bush administration that we find it intolerable, and as Americans, we will not support it in the future, and we need to send that message to whoever gets elected in November. Allison, we're going to take a break. Stand by. We'll continue. Allie Frick is with us from the Center for American Progress. If you have a comment, join us now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm live from Missoula, Montana. It's Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 8 minutes in front of the hour. Our music of the moment from Bruce Springsteen. That's a powerful protest song. Who will be the last to die for a mistake? And the mistake was that Bush didn't keep playing golf, right? That is such a preposterous moment from this president. And Ali, if you don't want to weigh in with a nasty comment about Bush, it's okay with me. But I'm just floored that he is so self-centered, so self-absorbed, that he would tell this story about how he gave up playing golf because he didn't want some widow who, or you know, a mother who'd lost a loved one in Iraq to see him having fun. Now, right. This is the guy who, for the last 4 years, has refused to find 15 minutes to meet with Cindy Sheehan. And she probably would have gone to a golf course to talk to him if that were the available moment she was offered. And when he talks about this, and now we know that he misstated, he misspoke, he once again couldn't quite find the truth, because he said he quit playing golf in August, but he actually played again in October. And to me, it's not that critical, except it's an insight into a man who appears to be pathological, that he has to tell this story on his terms, and, you know, the facts occasionally get in the way. And I just want to recommend to people, if you go to Crooks and Liars or some of the other great websites, look for Keith Olbermann's special comment from MSNBC on Wednesday night. It was very powerful, and I agree with just about everything he said. So check that out, and I think you'll find it very interesting. Allie, the other thing is I got on a plane in California this morning and read the paper, heard some radio news that the California Supreme Court was about to issue its ruling on the same-sex marriage issue. And I said to myself, oh, well, this Republican-dominated court will not overturn the law, the voter-approved referendum that defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman. But it did so. And this is the second state, Massachusetts being the first. And I am really proud of California. As I said, I did not expect this to happen at this time. Have you been able to take a look at the details of the ruling? And does it indicate just how broad the ruling is? Does it establish a constitutional right to equity for heterosexual and homosexual couples?
From the little that I've seen, it does seem to imply that. The key quote was, an individual's sexual orientation, like a person's race or gender, does not constitute a legitimate basis upon which to deny or withhold legal rights. So in that, that phrase to me strikes me as very broad, because it's speaking about legal rights in general, not just marriage rights, which is very heartening. And the fact that they're finally starting to compare sexual orientation to race and gender shows that there might be an evolution of thought about sexual orientation as another immutable quality, just like race and gender. And that's the key, the immutable quality. That's the key to kind of ensuring protection under the law.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, because I haven't read this ruling or any details about it either, but what I'm curious about is if it establishes this around the term marriage, because I have speculated that they would use the civil union method of say, or domestic partnership language, to say that these are the equivalent of marriage, and that as long as the rights are there, this is okay. So I'm going to be curious to see if they establish that the word marriage applies equally to heterosexual as to same-sex couples.
I believe that that is what they said. That I believe that they said, you know, civil union doesn't go far enough. I want to couch that in. I'm not positive, but that's what I believe.
Right, and Katrina just told me that
there... Unfortunately, though, as you know, there's a constitutional proposition that's been proposed by the radical right in California that wants to put forth a constitutional amendment that would constitutionally define marriage as between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And they have actually already gotten over 1 million signatures, and they only need about 700,000 of those signatures to be valid for that measure to make it onto the California ballot.
And, yeah, we'll probably
would be on the ballot this fall, this November. So
that's correct.
Yeah, that could actually that has very interesting consequences in terms of presidential politics. You know, that could potentially be a driving force for conservative Republicans to come to the polls that who otherwise might not be inclined to come out and support McCain. We're not really sure.
Right, and it can also hurt Democrats because we saw in 2004 Roe used these ballot measures banning gay marriage to get the vote out and also to embarrass the Democrats because the Democrats only go as far as civil unions. We haven't heard a prominent national figure embrace the idea of same-sex marriage with full rights. Allie, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I appreciate your commentary.
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Now go outside. You promise?
I promise. I'm heading out right now.
Good. That's Allie Frick at the Center for American Progress. Check out the Progress Report, progressreport.org. From Missoula, Montana, Peter B. Collins.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
California gays get the go-ahead to marry.
Yeah, we're so excited.
Woo-hoo! President Bush accuses Democrats of appeasing terrorists.
Those are incendiary words, and President Bush knew it.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Same-sex couples were waiting outside the California Supreme Court. A divided court ruling 4-3 struck down state law against gay marriage. More from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
When the court's ruling was announced here, there was emotion.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
Throughout San Francisco, the city's large gay and lesbian population celebrated.
It means that we can actually get married.
Personally, it means everything to me. It's just about love.
Mayor Gavin Newsom held a noontime rally inside City Hall.
This is a great day for California and a great day for America.
In its ruling, the court said an individual's capacity for a loving relationship does not depend on a person's sexual orientation. Those who oppose the ruling say they will try to get it overturned. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the State Supreme Court in San Francisco.
Steve Crampton of the Liberty Council is disappointed with the court.
Just another classic example of judicial overreaching and attempting not to interpret the law, but to make law.
Gays and lesbians are able to marry for now, but CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen says the battle isn't over.
This was a bitterly divided ruling, with one of the dissenting judges calling the majority reasoning a case of legal jujitsu, the creation of constitutional rights where none should have existed. And I think that means we'll now see this move into the political realm with perhaps an attempt to amend the Constitution to explicitly prohibit these sorts of marriages.
Now this.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Buick knows.
with oil life monitor, OnStar vehicle diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Goodwrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Buick Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodwrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Hey, you. Stick it to your allergies. Switch to Allivert. Stick quick-dissolving Allivert on your tongue and it instantly bursts into action. So you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. That's right. Allivert is effective allergy relief Claritin can't beat. And Claritin costs a lot more. So stick it to those more expensive allergy medicines. Experience the relief of Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
It was a slap at Barack Obama, who's expressed willingness to talk with the president of Iran, and at Jimmy Carter, who recently met with leaders of Hamas. President Bush, addressing the Israeli parliament, said belief in negotiation with terrorists and radicals is a foolish delusion.
We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
There's furious reaction from Democrats. Former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle speaks for the Obama campaign.
It is a false political attack. It's very unfortunate that the president would go abroad to attack a political leader here in the United States.
But Republican John McCain says it's legitimate debate.
This does bring up an issue we'll be discussing with the American people, and that is why does Barack Obama, Senator Obama, want to sit down with a state sponsor of terrorism?
Critics of the president's remarks point out that the Bush administration is negotiating with Iran and North Korea. In a speech today, McCain envisioned what the world would be like at the end of his first term as president.
By January 2013, America has welcomed home most of the servicemen and women who have sacrificed terribly so that America might be secure in her freedom. The Iraq War has been won.
He predicted that Osama bin Laden would be killed or captured. Reportedly, the al-Qaeda leader is about to issue a new message marking Israel's 60th anniversary. In central China, another day of misery in the aftermath of a devastating earthquake. Officials say the death toll could reach 50,000. In the city of Mianyang, CBS News reporter Celia Hatton found desperate refugees from the countryside.
I stopped in my tracks when I saw one elderly couple carrying a young child. She was 2 years old. And when I spoke to them, it turned out that they were farmers from a very remote region, and they had finished walking 2.5 days with their granddaughter in order to get to the sports stadium, a place where they thought that they could get food and water and shelter.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
At Mercedes-Benz, every certified pre-owned vehicle comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles, ensuring that every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000 mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And this slice comes to you from Missoula, Montana. I'm Peter B., live in Big Sky Country today and tomorrow. We're here for the International Wildlife Film Festival and to meet some of our listeners from our affiliate, KMPT 930, here in Missoula. Despite my distance, you can call into the program whenever the urge strikes you. The same number works, and it's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We paid big bucks for that vanity number, so use it. Oh, and I haven't opened my email yet. I'm sorry. I've been distracted here, but we'll get around to that a little bit later this hour. I want to thank Brian Urban, who is back there at Master Control in our secret studio in the 415 area code, and our incredible producer, Katrina Rill, who parachuted in a day early to Missoula to get the lay of the land here. And we brought warm weather here from the left coast. My friend Nancy, who's also here in the studio, had warned us a few days ago that it's still a little wintry here with very chilly nights, but that evaporated over a couple of days, and we're going to have almost as warm temperatures here as you're experiencing in the Golden State. 888-5-PETER-B, that's our number. Scott Dick joins us this hour, as usual. He is our expert and contributor on military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps and then jumped over to the Army, and he retired with the rank of major, and he's just living the fat cat life on the Monterey Peninsula with that huge military pension. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
It's 100 degrees here on the peninsula, and we've already had our first fires of the season.
Oh, my. I hope they're under control.
They are indeed, but it made for some risky travel this afternoon. But it's they're out with the fire department and the highway patrol out there in this 100-degree weather fighting fires. I couldn't think of a worse thing except maybe having a barbecue at the same time.
Yeah. Well, Scott, as you make your way to the studio, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the maneuvering in Washington by the Republicans who so piously tell us that they're the only ones who support the troops. Because we've been discussing this for weeks, that Jim Webb, the Vietnam vet, who is the new senator, the freshman senator from Virginia, has proposed a rather generous GI Bill that essentially would give any service member with duty in Iraq or Afghanistan this conflict, a scholarship to a state university when they return and leave active duty. And I think that this is the least, and I stress that, there's much more that we should be doing for the vets who have served in this conflict. But it's gotten turned into a political ping-pong ball in Washington. And in an effort to kill it, Republicans attached it to a public safety employer-employee cooperation, which essentially would allow firefighters and other first responders to join unions. And Democrats support that, but the Republicans pulled a maneuver where they attached this the Webb bill, I believe, to this other bill, and then it was defeated. And at the same time, John McCain has a watered-down version that I guess Lindsey Graham of South Carolina wrote up. That's an amendment GI Bill, but it's not nearly as generous to the troops as the Webb version. So this is just another sordid example of how the actions of those who speak most loudly about supporting our troops simply don't match up with those loud remarks.
Well, they're doing it in two ways. They're trying to say that the a matter of fact, I heard a spokesman from John McCain came out, and she outright, I don't want to say lied, but she was very disingenuous about the cost. And one of the costs that she stated was it would wreck retention because people would get out after combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and go to college. Now imagine that. This conflict has already lasted longer than World War II, and the bill that Webb has introduced and has brought bipartisan support would give those Iraq and Afghanistan veterans the same thing that our vets from World War II got. It's just in-state tuition, room and board and books. And so what she's claiming is it would kill retention and reduce it by 16%, and it would be something like $5.7 billion each year for 10 years. Now, here's what she didn't quote in the same study, the same CBO study, is it would reduce costs of keeping, of recruiting by the same amount, by like $5.9 billion, and so it's completely offsetting. In addition, it would add 16% new high-quality recruits into the pipeline. So they complain about retention, but recruiting would be positively affected to the same percentage exactly.
Well, and a couple of weeks ago, we went down the list of recruits who didn't meet the old standards, but have been permitted to enter our volunteer military because we're so desperate for more boots and bodies on the ground. And some of those were guys who had done breaking and entering, a lot of drug crimes, a lot of other issues that previously would have precluded their service. And so what you're talking about is a very positive way of attracting people to the military. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but we do know that many people who have been serving these multiple tours and the stop-loss action in Iraq and Afghanistan entered before September 11th, and they did so because they were going into the reserves or National Guard for the educational benefits. It's one of the biggest draws.
Yeah, and not only that, but they champion, they're calling it this thing called portability. And it really doesn't kick in for a lot of people until they've actually been in 6 years. So you don't get the full benefit until 12 years. And it's measly. It goes from $1,500 a month to $2,000 a month after 12 years. So and it's only good for officers, for example, to get their bachelor's degree. And they want to add on service academy grads, and that's what McCain was, and other officers. So it's a big change, a big departure from when, you know, vets who served in combat honorably could get a full ride scholarship to a state school.
And so one of the things that I would like to see a little more of, Scott, is some feedback from veterans, even older vets, because I think that so far we've seen this as a kind of insider game in Washington. And I think if we put more focus on this, and the Republican leaders in particular know that people are paying attention to this and will hold them responsible if we don't get a GI Bill this year, I think that might keep them a little bit more on the up and up.
Well, the Veterans of Foreign Wars came out in favor of the Webb bill. And the American Legion came out in favor of the Webb bill. So what you have are two Vietnam veterans going at it, and it has turned completely political on McCain's side, not on the Democrat side, because the Webb bill is co-sponsored with John Warner, for goodness sakes.
And it's hard to understand why the White House would oppose this. They have demanded so many blank checks for this misguided war and occupation. And as I mentioned, they talk so loudly about how they support the troops. And this, to me, is not that costly. It's a no-brainer. And when you add it to the tab for the mess that we've created, it's chicken feed.
Well, I think it's mostly about partisan politics. If for them, what's interesting is that no Democrat can sponsor a bill that really shows their support. I mean, we can cry about, you know, Walter Reed and Fort Bragg, deplorable housing conditions and medical care, but that's not the same as actually getting legislation passed. I think it's embarrassed McCain, and that's why he came up with this really watery, thin, you know, nonsense of a bill to try to save some face, and now the Republicans are throwing their weight behind it.
Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking military and veterans issues. You're welcome to join the conversation. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Ben is calling from Salinas. Ben, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, Peter, I wanted to make reference to the warning of Bin Laden is going to send us another love note there. Why do stupid Republicans continue to support Bush and McCain in this boogeyman game they're playing with Bin Laden?
Well, it's simple.
He's got his own PR agency now, and they continue to use him as the boogeyman to loot the Treasury and to continue eroding our civil rights. Why do so many intelligent Americans buy in this crap?
Well, that's a part of the tragedy of the last 7 years, that too many Americans have bought the crap that's been peddled to them. But, Ben, it's real simple. This is an election year, and Bush's whole M.O., since 9/11, the 2002 midterm, the 2004 presidential, the 2006 midterm, and they're ready to do it again. They want to demonize the Democrats. You heard him earlier this week say that if Democrats are elected, we're going to get hit again. Of course, his comments were more convoluted than that. I'm boiling them down. But he has been very clever. As a guy who is a fumbling speaker and a guy who you think is pretty stupid most of the time when he speaks off the cuff, he has very cleverly connected, disconnected ideas, events, and threats to the politics of the domestic United States.
You've got to know this guy's a product of our own demonic forces that are really trying to take away from us our own damn country. And I'm still, where in the hell is the anger in the streets? The anger to on the burn up the phone lines to our congressman? They're supposed to work for us last time I heard.
You're right, Ben. Thank you for your call.
Okay,
I always appreciate your passion. Scott, did you want to comment on that, the Bin Laden threat and the way Bush has been politicizing that for the November election?
Well, he brought it today that Democrats are terrorist appeasers, much like the appeasers in Nazi Germany. The thing he didn't mention is the Republican senator that he quoted, saying if I could just talk to Hitler, maybe he wouldn't have done that. He was a Republican from Idaho.
Huh.
Senator White stance. And so the appeaser was coming from the Republican Party that he quoted, not the Democrats. And it's outrageous, but it's a continuing attempt to smear the Democrats and make a red carpet for McCain's third Bush term.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. He's with us this entire hour. You're welcome to call in like Ben did. 888-5 Peter B. I think the ball game should be over in Eureka, so get on the line if you're listening in the North State. My toll-free number is 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start you off in Monterey County, Laurelis Grade Road northbound at Maravilla Drive. We have a grass fire. Actually, two separate fires burning out in that area. Looks like fire department has partially shut down the roadway. The northbound lanes may be blocked. CHP doing traffic control and doing escorts of traffic through the area. So you're going to be looking at big delays. There may be another one burning Laurelis at Robley Road that's causing delays as well. Southbound 17 before Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, an accident with a couple of cars that was in the left-hand lane. Looks like CHP got there. They're escorting everybody off to surface streets. Northbound 1 at 17 in Santa Cruz, a broken down car. That's partially blocking one of the lanes. And Highway 1 at Rio Road in Carmel. Getting reports of a person apparently walking in the roadway, so drive with caution there. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Golfers, hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney. It's the official headquarters for PGA Tour apparel. The men's store is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Some hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from the Mountain Time Zone in Missoula, Montana. We'll be live again from here tomorrow. We're here for the International Wildlife Film Festival and to check out the scene here in Montana. It is beautiful. We continue our hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, yesterday you and I were chatting a little bit about some German pronunciation. And in particular, the minority leader of the House is one John Boehner from the state of Ohio. And they're the Beatles. Thank you. And Scott, Katrina is here, and of course she was born in Germany and is a native speaker, and she's going to give us a little pronunciation guide.
And the Beatles went to Hamburg. That's probably why he had to play that.
Well, we heard the Beatles. I'm not sure everybody did. When you're on a remote like this, things drop in from all kinds of places. But Katrina, what is the correct German pronunciation of John Boehner, as he says it in English, John Boehner's name?
If you said it in German, you would call say Boehner.
Boehner.
Boehner. Uh-huh. It's like an O umlaut.
Uh-huh. Scott, you want to practice that?
Well, I don't have as good as pronunciation, so for me it's Boehner. It's as simple as that. He's a Boehner, and he can't get over it.
And of course, with your name, I think you have license to say that,
oh,
Scott.
Oh, you guys, don't go there.
You know, it doesn't bother me being a dick, and it shouldn't bother him being a Boehner either.
All right, let's go to Anthony in Carmel Valley. Anthony, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Mr. Dick.
Hi, Peter A. Major. Yeah, on the it's hot out here. It's about as hot as Edward Kennedy was the other night when he was going off on the Republicans about their little ploy that they had.
Uh-huh.
When they took on, they added the McCain. It was the McCain GI Bill amendment that they were adding to the union bill, and that's
right.
What blocked.
But they did it.
Progressing, and
they
also,
did it to kill it because they knew Republicans wouldn't vote for a collective bargaining bill for police and firefighters, right?
Well, they knew that Democrats weren't going to vote for the McCain bill. I think it's.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was the negative association in reverse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks, because I wasn't totally clear on that, and perhaps as I explained it, it wasn't clear. And you've helped clarify it, and that's what makes this a great show.
Yes.
Anything you want to add, Anthony?
No, that'll do.
All right.
Take care. Great show.
Stay cool. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join the conversation. Scott, I understand that there is some discussion now that trying to screen vets returning, particularly from Iraq, for post-traumatic stress disorder, that another issue has surfaced about adjustment disorder. Explain what's going on here, please.
Well, as we saw a couple years ago at Fort Carson, where the senior psychiatrist was trying to save the government a little money, although I don't know why, he was diagnosing soldiers with adjustment disorder and calling them pre-existing conditions, and then, of course, soldiers were agreeing to that, getting out of the military, thinking that they could go to the VA, and, of course, they're not covered. So this is a continuing way that the VA wants to save money on the backs of our soldiers and our veterans and crew. And Vote Vet got a copy under a Freedom of Information Act of an email that was sent out at a VA hospital, and that's redacted. I don't know exactly which one it is. And here's the subject. This is March 20th, 2008. So this isn't ancient history. They're still doing it. We all thought this had been laid to rest, but it hasn't been. March 20, 2008, suggestion. Given that we are having more and more compensation-seeking veterans, to me that's a slur right there, given that we are having more and more compensation-seeking veterans, I'd like to suggest that you refrain from giving a diagnosis of PTSD straight out. Consider a diagnosis of adjustment disorder instead of PTSD. Additionally, we really don't have time to do the extensive testing that should be done to determine PTSD. Also, there have been some incidents where the veteran has a CNP, is not given a diagnosis of PTSD, then the veteran comes here and we give the diagnosis and the veteran appeals his case based on our assessment. This is just a suggestion for the reasons listed above. So they're trying to save money on the backs of our vets. It's disgusting.
And basically they're trying to dial down the diagnosis in advance.
Right. I mean, they want people to be conditioned not to diagnose PTSD, and to do that, you know, talking to the vets, talking to them about some of the horrific scenes they've encountered, some of the combat they've been in, their friends have been killed, they have killed other people, all of that fits under this traumatic, under the DSM-4 of witnessing traumatic events, being afraid for your life, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we've seen this as part of a larger pattern, to limit the claims, to limit the benefits, and to use bizarre ideas like pre-existing conditions to disqualify people who clearly have suffered injuries or other problems from their service in the war zone, and it's a shell game being used to deny them the coverage they so richly deserve. Scott, we're going to take a break and return. In our next segment, I want to talk about some detainees and the role of the rent-a-generals who spoke up for the Pentagon on the corporate media. And we'll also talk about corruption in Iraq. Scott Dick with us till the top of the hour. You're welcome to join in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Share a podcast with a friend. The link is on the homepage, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Visualize victory. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. At a speech in Columbus, candidate John McCain shared a vision of what the first term of a McCain presidency could look like. He sees a world where wages are high, inflation is low, education is rigorous, health care is affordable, taxes are simplified, and
the Iraq War has been won.
The Iraq War has been won.
Iraq is a functioning democracy.
Victory in Iraq. How sweet the sound. It would bring most of the troops home, and even critics of the war can't quarrel with that. It's an appealing promise missing just one thing. Suppose he doesn't win in Iraq during his first term. Then what? He skips his second term, he resigns, he refunds our money. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Suppose if he doesn't win the war in his first term, he refunds our money. But Dave, you say we're not really paying for the war, the money's borrowed. Yes, but we will have to pay eventually, and we're paying the interest right now, which is one reason we can't afford full college tuition for returning GIs, a bill which Senator McCain himself says is too expensive. So suppose he promises to end the war or else refund the $12 billion a month it costs to keep it going four more years. I know, not possible, because where would the refund come from? The government is telling us we can't even afford a summer gas tax holiday. But it's a nice dream, a $12 billion a month refund. If it was somehow possible to refund just 2 months' worth, never mind a gas tax holiday, you could suspend the federal gas tax for the year. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We be live from Missoula, Montana on the Peter B. Collins Show today and tomorrow. Good to have you with us. Our regular phone number is active. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I got the email going here. You want to drop me a note? Do it. Peter at peterbcollins.com.
What are you saying to now? I don't like music.
And we continue our hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, next I want to talk about the torture policies at Guantanamo, the Bush administration's efforts to separate the United States from the Geneva Conventions, and the historic right of habeas corpus. And in particular, you want to tell us about detainee 063.
Well, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. And The Bush administration would like to feed the American people the idea this is a very complicated subject, and this is a time of war, and it's a never-ending war, and we're fighting terrorists. And that leads to argument number one, which the terrorists are not covered under the Geneva Convention. And, of course, the Taliban are and the Al-Qaeda are the terrorists of choice for this conflict. And so what they did is they crafted a set of memos that outlined, contrary to what the Bush administration said, they said this request for harsh interrogation techniques came from the bottom to the top. And in fact, it was pressure from the top on the interrogators at Gitmo. Now, Gitmo started this harsh interrogation techniques well before Abu Ghraib, and General Miller was at Gitmo, as we know, and then he moved on to Iraq.
To Gitmoize Abu Ghraib, yes.
Exactly, that's the quote. So, in the Philip Sands is an international human rights lawyer who recently wrote an article for Vanity Fair called The Green Light, and it's a devastating indictment of the Bush administration and how they constructed the excuse to torture people. Now, the thing that the Bush administration would like to sell to the American people, Peter, and the media, is that torture, well, first of all, waterboarding is not torture, but if we did it, it wouldn't be torture. So there's this whole idea, this nondescript thing that they call torture, and that is covered by the Geneva Convention. And so since the detainees aren't covered by the Geneva Convention, if we tortured them, they wouldn't be covered either. There's a couple of holes in this that Philippe Sands outlined to other people. One, inhumane, cruel, and degrading treatment is a war crime under the Geneva Convention. That's why they had to remove the entire Geneva Convention. So when you transport a detainee from Iraq to Gitmo, chained to a cargo ring on the floor of a C-17 for 22 hours with earplugs, not to protect their hearing, but to eliminate all sounds,
right.
A painted goggle, so they were deprived of sensory, any kind of sensory orientation, a dust mask, and they're chained there for 22 hours without access to a toilet. They end up lying there in their own urine and feces for 22 hours. How could you not call that inhumane, degrading, bordering on torture?
Well, so, Scott, the only thing you left out from that grisly description is that they also insert drugs via anal suppositories to knock these guys out.
Right,
and
so,
that's part of our travel regimen for hooded, shackled detainees.
Exactly, and so the whole idea is that we've under any convention of the Geneva Convention, we've engaged in not only in torture, but in this degrading, inhumane, or cruel treatment, which are expressly prohibited. The second place where we've committed a war crime, according to the Geneva Convention, is. Not since, I'm going to bore you with a quote. There's a questioning, and this is from the book Guantanamo, What the World Should Know. And it's, under the traditional rule of war, does one have the right to interrogate prisoners constantly, as the United States admits is doing in Guantanamo? The answer, the Germans did that during World War II. They ran detention centers that were called interrogation camps, not prisoner of war camps. The 1949 Geneva Convention outlawed interrogation camps. And you have General Miller in a transcript with reporters when somebody asked him about these camps in Gitmo. He said, oh, these are interrogation centers that we're building. And so we have it on record that we have built and are using and maintaining interrogation centers expressly forbidden by the Geneva Convention. So the Bush administration has convinced everybody that, well, if we did torture, it's not waterboarding, and if we did torture, they're not protected under the Geneva Convention. But the mere maintenance of an interrogation center is a violation, and cruel and degrading treatment is also. Now, we could argue all day long about the effectiveness of torture, and in this article in Vanity Fair, he quotes the local JAG officer, who is an Air Force major, I believe, and she said, this is the only place I find a reference to 24 hours. She said that was a favorite show of some of the interrogators at Gitmo. And they liked the fact that Jack Bauer got success by using torture. And some of the ideas when they were brainstorming, a group of 25 people brainstorming harsh interrogation techniques, came from those people who liked the show 24 hours. So
that is amazing to connect, reality with a television drama. And to see this stuff spun in this manner, and Scott, I think that's a very important issue that I haven't seen argued before about the Geneva Convention's ban on interrogation centers, and that's clearly what we set up at Gitmo, and it clearly is a top-down effort. We know from the torture memos that John Yoo wrote, first for the Defense Department, then for the CIA, and we know from just the pattern of these events. And so this is just another element of a potential indictment for war crimes issues if we ever find a venue to present them.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about the Geneva Convention. It becomes public law in the United States. And the interesting function of that is under Article 2, this is the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, and Degrading Treatment or Punishment. Article 2. No exceptional circumstances whatsoever, whether a state of war or a threat of war, internal political instability, or any other public emergency may be invoked as justification for torture. An order from a superior officer or a public authority may not be invoked as a justification of torture. and no state party shall expel, return, refouler, or extradite a person to another state where there are substantial grounds for believing that he would be in danger of being subject to torture. That covers our rendition slice as well.
Yeah.
And then the part of this, there is no statute of limitation. And when they passed the Military Commissions Act, as an attempt to immunize themselves from prosecution, they now gave the rest of the world, any of the parties of the Geneva Conventions against torture, are required, upon presentment of a possible suspect in a torture case, to arrest that person if it can't be done in the home state. And that provision in the Military Commissions Act is that trigger. So it's not going to be safe for any of those lawyers to travel out of the United States, and including the Bush administration people that were in on the whole beginning of the torture mess.
Well, and Scott, it's interesting because finally in Milan, Italy, a trial is getting underway. You recall a few years back, 2003, we, the United States, 25 CIA operatives and one Air Force colonel who have been indicted in Italy, were responsible for nabbing Hassan Mustafa Osama Nasser, also known as Abu Omar. And he's an Egyptian cleric who was taken near a mosque in Milan. And the Italians are so upset about this because the U.S. intervened in such a clumsy manner. They've been following this guy. They were trying to build a case on him. And we jumped in, snatched him, put him on a jet, sent him to Egypt. He reports he was tortured. And the story goes on from there. But the U.S. so far appears to be boycotting this trial. No Americans have shown up for it, and the U.S. has said it will not extradite them. But what's interesting here is that in the intervening years, the prime minister who was running Italy at the time we did this is now back in power,
sure.
Silvio Berlusconi. And so this presents a very interesting possibility that the Berlusconi government may be required to explain its role in the CIA snatch and rendition of Abu Omar, and that actually may lead to the release of more information about the ugly rendition program we use, and this phony denial that we have that, gosh, we don't expect people to be tortured when we send them to, say, Egypt or
now,
Syria.
And Peter, let me, if we have time, I want to play this clip. If Philippe Sands says it much better than I do. He explains quickly the beginnings of the torture program and how it affects U.S. soldiers, how it can affect soldiers, how it will affect U.S. soldiers in the future. Can we do that now?
Yeah, we got time. Go right ahead.
All right. Hopefully this won't be the Beatles, Peter.
No one is saying it hasn't happened before, but apparently what hasn't happened before is the abandonment of the rules against cruelty. And the Geneva Conventions were set aside, as Doug Fyfe told me, precisely in order to clear the slate and allow aggressive interrogation.
And Rumsfeld's memo was the catalyst for this?
Rumsfeld's, well, the timing was that the Geneva Conventions were set aside in February 2002 by decision of the President at the instance of Doug Fyfe and a small group, including some lawyers. And the memo by Donald Rumsfeld then came in December 2002 after they had identified Mohammed al-Qahtani. But it was permitted to occupy the space that had been created by clearing away the brushwork of the Geneva Conventions. And by removing Geneva, that memo became possible. Why did it abandon American values? It abandons American values because this military in this country has a very fine tradition, as we've been discussing, of not doing cruelty. It's a proud tradition, and it's a tradition born on issues of principle, but also pragmatism. No country is more exposed internationally than the United States. For example, to Justice Antonin Scalia, saying, if the president wants to authorize torture, there's nothing in our constitution which stops it. Now, pause for a moment. That is such a foolish thing to say. If the United States president can do that, then why can't the Iranian president do that, or the British prime minister do that, or the Egyptian president do that? You open the door in that way to all sorts of abuses, and you expose the American military to real dangers, which is why the backlash began with the U.S. military. Bill,
So that's I couldn't have put it any better.
And that is Philippe Sands. And as you point out, he's got a lengthy piece in the new issue of Vanity Fair. I'm going to try to pick that up and read it on my next plane flight. Now, Scott, there were a couple of key things in there. A little earlier, you said that we could argue all day about the effectiveness of torture. And frankly, it'd be a brief argument. And my first witness would be Dr. Phil Butler, who lives there with you in the Monterey area, who was at the Hanoi Hilton even longer than John McCain, and who's been on our show many times and flatly said that torture does not work. And that also what he and McCain and the others who were tortured in Hanoi clung to, and what kept them from spilling secrets or you know, giving up and caving in to the torture, was the knowledge that the U.S. doesn't do that. And go ahead.
So now we want to try and convict people that we said are part of the and parcel of the 9-1-1 attacks resulting in the death of 3,000 Americans. And so we have the case of detainee 063 Al-Qahtani, who recently, as you know, Peter, all charges against him were dropped because it was tainted by torture. And I have this clip. We could talk if you want to, if we have time. I could play another Philip Sands where he explains how this Al-Qahtani was affected by torture.
Let's do that after the break. We're up against it now, so we'll take our break and then return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Again,
one of the things you just heard with Philippe's.
Left up to me to take care of.
Hold on there.
That's not me.
No, that's not me either. How about a little music there, Brian? We'll continue in a moment with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment you want to add, we want to hear it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live today from Missoula, Montana.
Checking traffic on this very hot day on KRXA, and we do have some problems for you. Grass fires burning out there. Laurelis Grade Road at Maravilla Drive. This is south of 68. We've had multiple grass fires burning out there today. CHP out there doing traffic control and escorting vehicles through the area. Expect delays. You may see a lot of smoke as you go through the area. Also, Highway 68, Pasadena Drive. We're getting reports that the traffic light's not working there, so definitely be prepared for delays as a result of that. Now, Highway 1 northbound before Airport Boulevard. Excuse me, 101 northbound before Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We have a two-car crash. Looks like all the activity off to the side. And northbound one after 68 in Monterey, a two-car crash. That's tying up the left-hand lane. This is brought to you by Panda Express. Come taste Panda Express's new Beijing beef. It's a tasty new dish with crispy strips of marinated beef in a tangy, sweet, and spicy sauce, and it's only at Panda Express. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the Bush administration's decision to list the polar bear under the Endangered Species Act. Clayton Jernigan from Earth Justice will be joining us at the top of next hour. And then we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about what was a surprise to me today, that the California Supreme Court overturned the law that defines marriage only between a male and a female. And I think that is a great step forward for progressives, liberals, human rights activists, and those of us who are committed to tolerance. So we'll be talking about that next hour. We continue with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. If you have a comment, there's still room for you to call at 888-5-PETER-B. And, Scott, I know you have another soundbite there from Philippe Sands, so set this up and let's listen.
Well, before I play that, I want to just throw in one little bit. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff just announced a survey where 78% of active duty military agreed that they have no heartburn serving with gays openly in the military. So that's a departure as well. So the country's finally beginning to move in some kind of real positive direction.
Well, and it does seem that the Democratic candidates are both committed to lifting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, gosh, it's only 15 years too late.
Exactly. All right, so let's get back to this. Before I go with a soundbite, I want to just tell you where I took the General Miller quote from. It comes from a DOD news briefing, Friday, February 13th, 2004, and participated were Paul Butler, the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low-Intensity Conflict, and Army Major General Jeffrey Miller, who's the commander of Joint Task Force Guantanamo. And what they were talking about, I just want to say this again, I was talking about the construction of this facility. And why the construction? That facility can house up to 100 enemy combatants who we will conduct interrogation upon. And to be frank with you, we're replacing interrogation facilities that were trailers with better facilities that allow us to more effectively and rapidly do this job of interrogation. Is it a housing facility then, or is it more strictly just for interrogation? Miller, it is an interrogation facility, but we can house an enemy combatant there to accelerate and help us in the interrogation process. So this is Philip Sands, and he's talking specifically about detainee 063.
I do have actual information on detainee 063. I spent time, as I described in the book, with the head of Mohammed al-Qahtani's exploitation team, and the bottom line of it was, contrary to what the administration said, they got nothing out of him. I have homed in on the interrogation of one man, detainee 063. The administration has publicly declared they got a mass of information out of him that related to all sorts of extraordinarily important things to protect the Americans. I then spoke to the people who were involved in his actual interrogation and the head of his exploitation team. That's not what they told me. If the evidence I had been given had been different, then I would reach possibly a different conclusion, not as to the legality or the utility of torture, but what do we do in the face of evidence that it works? But there isn't evidence that it works.
That's the whole gist of the whole argument that veterans have made, people who have been tortured have made. It's part of that onion, Peter, that we have to peel back to expose the Bush administration and conservative Republicans' idea that we live in an installment of 24 hours and that we can torch the bad guys and get useful information out of them and engage in some kind of war on a tactical exercise like terror. It's complicated only because they've made it so complicated, and when you strip all the legalistic BS away from it and the idea that they're trying to provide distance and deniability for themselves, it's plain and simple. They wanted to torture these guys to get information so they could go after more terrorists, and in fact, they've got nothing, and in many cases, hundreds of detainees held at Gitmo were completely innocent. They should have never been sent there to begin with.
Scott, a couple of things in reaction. First of all, detainee 063, while he is no longer being charged, he's not being released. He is going to sit there at Gitmo for an indefinite period of time, and there is no mechanism for him to use the courts, habeas corpus, or any other manner to try to win his freedom. So his incarceration is at the whim of government officials, and that may change next January, but for now, we have to assume that he is facing unlimited detention, even though we have no charges pending against him.
That is and Peter, that in itself is a violation of the Geneva Convention.
Yes, it is.
Regardless of a person's status, every person, including saboteurs and spies and those suspected of a war crime, must be tried.
Well, and Scott, this is an effort to really misguide the American people by using a popular television show and the fictional dramas that it presents to argue for a certain reality. And for example, we know that many of these detainees who are now at Gitmo, who've been there 4, 5, maybe even 6 years, they have no useful information. They were compartmentalized. They were in a cell.
Right.
And so there's really nothing that they could cough up. Maybe in the first month or two, they might have actionable intelligence, but they're also very well trained and willing to die for their beliefs. And so the whole picture is of a process that is designed to make the perpetrators of the torture feel good, not to get any real results out of those who are receiving it.
And Miller admitted that. He said, "I can't remember 2 years ago exactly what I was doing, and you know, I don't have useful information from 2 years ago." But Peter, what we've lost sight of, and what the administration has been good at, is redirecting our attention to waterboarding, water torture, and torture, and nobody has addressed this cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment, which in and of itself is a violation of the Geneva Conventions, and something that we would not allow to happen. We would not allow our soldiers or our members of our service, special services, to be chained to the hull of an aircraft for 22 hours where they lie in near their own urine and feces. We would call that a violation of the Geneva Convention. And that's
yes.
Just a simple thing.
We certainly would. Well, Scott, I learned a few things here, and I really appreciate the research and the information you brought to us this hour, and I look forward to talking with you again next week.
You're welcome, Peter. It's just infuriating for me. Anyway, thanks so much.
All right, Scott Dick, thank you for joining us. And for those of you in the Monterey area, you know that Scott Dick has his own radio program that follows me every evening 6 to 8 p.m. And if you're outside the Central Coast, log on to KRXA540.com and check it out for yourself. Next hour, we'll talk about polar bears and same-sex marriage here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A divided California Supreme Court ruling 4-3 has thrown out the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Gay couples are celebrating and making wedding plans, but as CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports, this might not last.
Opponents of gay marriage are already working to overturn the decision with a ballot initiative in November.
What's wrong with legalizing gay marriage in California?
Well, the main problem here is that the court has overstepped its bounds.
Still, a rush of gay weddings is expected as soon as the ruling takes effect in 30 days, and these marriages will be unquestionably legal.
But as a practical matter, once you give same-sex couples the right to marry and they marry, undoing those marriages is a headache.
Certainly the fighting over this hasn't ended yet, but California's Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says he'll uphold the court ruling and he'll oppose the ballot measure to overturn it.
President Bush brought domestic politics into his address to the Israeli parliament today. In a thinly veiled swipe at Barack Obama and former President Jimmy Carter, he said it's appeasement to advocate talks with terrorists and radicals.
This is a tired argument that buys into the propaganda of the enemies of peace. And America utterly rejects it.
Obama calls it a false political attack, saying he's never supported engagement with terrorists. Hillary Clinton says the president picked the wrong place and the wrong time.
To use an important moment like the 60th anniversary celebration of Israel to make a political point seems terribly misplaced.
On Capitol Hill today, more twists and turns over war funding. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
After a surprise maneuver by Republicans, the House ended up rejecting a bill to provide money for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Since many Democrats refused to vote for any more money to fund the war, leaders counted on Republicans, but they were mad, so they voted present. So the House bill now calls for withdrawal of troops, funds increased veterans' benefits and unemployment insurance, but doesn't provide a single dollar to fight the war, something the Senate will now have to fix.
49-year-old Lori Drew of suburban St. Louis has been indicted on federal charges in connection with the death of a 13-year-old neighbor, Megan Meyer. Prosecutor Thomas O'Brien says Drew created a MySpace account under false pretenses and used it to send Meyer cruel messages. The girl eventually committed suicide.
This adult woman allegedly used the internet to target a young teenage girl with horrendous ramifications.
Drew denies it. Allegedly, she posed as a 16-year-old boy to taunt Meyer, a former friend of Drew's daughter. The girls had had a falling out. In the market today, oil prices edged higher, 12 cents higher, to finish at $124.34 a barrel. Stocks were much higher. The Dow Industrials up 94 points to close at 12,992. The NASDAQ up 37. It finished the day at 2533. This is CBS News.
Whether you're planting or painting, Ace is a place for expert help, friendly advice, and great ways to save. Buy a three-piece Ace Garden tool set with lopper, head shears, and bypass pruner for just $12.99. Or how about Ace Royal Paint? Starting at the everyday low price of $19.99 a gallon. Now with a $5 mail-in rebate, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Wednesday through Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Hi, Mom. What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. What's with 4 million people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
With gas prices so high, AAA says fewer Americans will take road trips for the Memorial Day weekend, and that doesn't bode well for summer travel destinations.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Universal Orlando President Bill Davis hopes the park's new Simpsons ride will keep visitors coming.
We're doing okay so far. We're cautiously optimistic, if you will.
Disney World and SeaWorld also have new attractions, but it may be a while before the returns start coming in. Orlando Convention and Visitors Bureau head Gary Sane says the trend this year is different.
Leisure travelers are just waiting on the sideline right now, and a lot of them haven't even made their summer vacation plans yet.
He says the hospitality industry is planning for the worst, but hoping for the best. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The high price of copper is apparently what inspired two guys in Lower Turkey Foot Township, Pennsylvania, to steal power lines from utility poles, not realizing they were live wires. Both men suffered shocks. Only one was well enough to appear at the arraignment. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Buick knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Goodwrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Buick Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodwrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Hey, you. Stick it to your allergies. Switch to Allivert. Stick quick-dissolving Allivert on your tongue and it instantly bursts into action, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. That's right. Allivert is effective allergy relief Claritin can't beat. And Claritin costs a lot more. So stick it to those more expensive allergy medicines. Experience the relief of Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show, all the way live, en vivo en español, from Missoula, Montana today, and the studios of our affiliate, AM 930, KMPT, and I'm delighted to be here in Big Sky Country. We've got more to talk about this hour, some interesting breaking news today. A little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines for you and hear your comments on the historic ruling today handed down by the California State Supreme Court, overturning a law that was passed by referendum that bans marriage between same-sex persons. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. The other breaking story regards the designation of polar bears as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. And to learn more about this, we go to Clayton Jernigan, who is in Juneau, Alaska. He's an attorney with Earth Justice. And I welcome you to the program, Clayton. How are you today?
Doing great, thanks. How are you, Peter?
Just fine. I want you to know you sound good, but I may not sound that great because I'm in Montana, and we're connected through California to you in Alaska, and there's satellites involved and phone lines, and it's 8 milliseconds around the world, but if you have a little trouble hearing me, just let me know, okay?
Okay. I can hear you all right, and good to know you're in the great state of Montana.
Oh, it's beautiful here today, I have to tell you. And why don't you give us a quick weather summary from Alaska? We've been collecting them from everybody we talked to today.
The sun is actually poking through the clouds today in Juneau, so we'll call it a beautiful sunny day.
And your temperature would be?
Oh, 50-something.
Okay. And is that relatively warm for this time of year? Because we have a heat wave in California. It hit 100 degrees in San Francisco today, which is very unusual, and it's warmer than we expected here in Montana.
No, that's about normal for Juneau.
All right. Well, let's talk about the conditions that have led to the melting of the polar ice cap and, in turn, its negative effect on polar bears and the response of the Bush administration, because they have been delaying any decision to protect habitat or wildlife, particularly in the region that's encompassed by the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, because they want to drill for oil and gas there, and they don't want any critters or any environmental issues to get in the way. And the way that they manage this indicates that their highest priority is the oil and gas under the surface there and not the wildlife and habitat on the surface itself. So tell us a little bit about this designation, because they use the term threatened, which is the lower standard, as I understand it, of the Endangered Species Act.
Yes, that's right. There are two standards under the Endangered Species Act, endangered and threatened, and the administration listed the polar bear as a threatened species, meaning that it's expected to become endangered at some point in the next 45 years. And, you know, yeah, as you mentioned, there was a long delay in this decision, and the administration was actually taken to court every step along the way to before it was forced to finally make a decision, and only did so on the last day possible under a court order. And in the meantime, it has been rushing ahead to sell off parts of polar bear habitat to oil companies in the Arctic. Just in February of this year, about a month after the listing decision was due under the law, the administration held a lease sale in the Chukchi Sea, which is part of the Arctic Ocean in Alaska, the polar bear, part of the polar bear seas, if you will, and did so without having listed the polar bear, without having gone through the steps to carefully scrutinize whether leasing all this land and water to oil companies would, and allowing them future rights to develop, would have an harmful effect on polar bears over the long term.
And Clayton Jernigan, here's a summary from the New York Times. It says, while giving the bear a few new protections, hunters may no longer import hides or other trophies from bears killed in Canada, for example, the Interior Department added stipulations seldom used under the Endangered Species Act that would allow oil and gas exploration and development to proceed in areas where the bears live, as long as the companies continue to comply with existing restrictions under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Now, is this another one of these creative end runs by the Bush administration where they're narrowly complying with the letter of the law and distracting us with that while they, plan for wholesale violations of the intent of these laws?
Yes. I mean, the administration did as little as they could possibly do to protect polar bears yesterday by listing the bear as threatened instead of endangered. And adopting weaker protections for polar bears and their habitat by doing this end run around the normal protections that would apply under the Endangered Species Act, the administration is clearly attempting to make it easier for oil and gas development to proceed on a fast track in prime polar bear habitat. The special rule that the administration adopted effectively excuses the oil industry from complying with the Endangered Species Act as long as they abide by the conditions of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Those protections afforded under the Marine Mammal Protection Act have been in place for decades and have done little to protect polar bear habitat, as we can see from the melting of the ice cap and the spread of oil industry throughout the Arctic.
And, Clayton, one of the arguments that you at Earth Justice and others have presented to the Interior Department on behalf of this listing of the polar bear as an endangered species is that global warming, climate change, has caused dramatic changes in the environment that is habitat for these declining species. And that this is a reason why that this regulation would have to take place at this time. But again, citing this New York Times article, the Bush administration has parried this legal thrust, saying that it had no obligation to address or try to mitigate the cause of the species decline. And here's a clever quote from Cassie Siegel at the Center for Biological Diversity. She said, this listing decision is an acknowledgement of global warming's urgency, but will have little practical impact on protecting polar bears. Quote, the administration acknowledges the bear is in need of intensive care. The listing lets the bear into the hospital, but then the 4D rule says the bear's insurance doesn't cover the necessary treatments. If you can, explain what the 4D rule is.
Yeah, and Cassie's exactly right about that. The 4D rule is the special rule that the administration adopted along with the listing decision, that as to the oil and gas industry in Alaska, essentially says the protections available under the Endangered Species Act, the prohibition against taking polar bears, against harming polar bears and their habitat, will not apply, that the oil companies do not need to get permits under the Endangered Species Act to take polar bears so long as they have gotten permits under the Marine Mammal Protection Act to take polar bears, to harass polar bears. And so what it does is effectively supplants the protections of the Endangered Species Act with those of the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which are already in place and essentially preserves the status quo for the oil industry up there, in being very careful to place no further burdens on their ability to explore, drill for oil.
And extract and exploit. Those are the operative active verbs, extract and exploit. We're talking with Clayton Jernigan, attorney with Earth Justice, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question about this new listing of the polar bear under the Endangered Species Act, give us a call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Clayton, I understand that there are three different lawsuits that Earth Justice is involved in, and one has won a court order that bans exploratory drilling in some areas of the Beaufort Sea. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a lawsuit challenging the approval of an exploration drilling plan by Shell. They were planning to drill wells right offshore of the Arctic Refuge, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last summer enjoined the program, said that the petitioners in the case had likely shown that they would succeed on the merits of their claims, that the drilling could cause potential effects to bowhead whales, as well as that the federal government had potentially improperly ignored the consequences of an oil spill in this area, which federal scientists had pointed out to the government would potentially grease two of the biggest congregations of polar bears on the coast of the Beaufort Sea. It's right in the area where polar bears in the fall, congregate around whale carcasses as they're sort of stranded on land and without anything left to eat. They gather in big numbers and could be highly susceptible to getting killed by spilled oil.
Mm-hmm. Now, Clayton, the second of three lawsuits you're involved with, you mentioned a little bit earlier, related to the Bush administration's sale of leases in the Chukchi Sea. Chukchi. And then the third one challenges regulations under the Marine Mammal Protection Act that would allow the oil companies to take polar bears that might get in the way of drilling for oil or gas.
Yes, and the lawsuit in the Chukchi Sea is a challenge to the recent lease sale in February, the sale that was held a month after the polar bears were supposed to have been listed, had the administration complied with its own, with the law and the timelines imposed under it. And the third lawsuit challenging the Marine Mammal Protection Act regulations argues that the administration failed to adequately consider the combined effects of climate change and oil and gas development and drilling on polar bears when authorizing the oil companies to take polar bears to harass them and disturb them with their drills.
Yeah. Well, Clayton, I really appreciate all the work that you're doing, and I hope you will continue to confront the government and try to protect the polar bears and see if we can prevent drilling up there in ANWR. Thanks for your work. People can find out more at earthjustice.org. We've been talking with Clayton Jernigan. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. I want to hear your comments on the historic California Supreme Court decision. Adam and Steve can get married. I'm Peter B. Collins in Missoula, Montana. We'll talk to you next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Barcalo, and I'm running for Assembly. Did you know that 20 million Californians pay over $100 billion each year in health care premiums to poorly regulated insurance companies? Did you know that many of these companies keep up to 50% of your premium for their profits? Now, with my plan for universal health care, we can do this for 40 to 50% less, keeping the rest at home in your pocket. This means more money for you and your family's needs. It also means $3.5 billion each month staying in California's economy. This will change your life. If it bothers you that your premium goes up every year, or if it bothers you that you can't even get health insurance, if it bothers you that nothing ever seems to change in Sacramento, then elect a bold, fresh new candidate candidate who can get this job done.
Your vote can make a difference. Vote for Stephen Barkalow on June 3rd for the 27th District State Assembly seat.
My name is Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have some better news for Monterey County. Laurelis Grade Road north at near Maravilla Drive or south of Highway 68, we had several grass fires in the area. They have been extinguished, and lanes should be reopening out there, but PG&E on the scene trying to restore power in the area. Looks like we have several intersections blacked out because we had a transformer explode as a result of this fire. For King City, South 101 before Central Avenue, broken down truck with a horse trailer, that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. Scotts Valley, Mountain Charlie Road at Glen Wood Drive, two-car crash reported there. Northbound 1 after Camino Aguajito and Monterey, left lane may still be blocked by a three-car crash. And in Rio Del Mar, Sumner Avenue at Doris Avenue, we have a stall that's blocking one of the lanes. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Our music of the moment by the openly gay Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Yes, if you're a same-sex couple, now you can relax and get married and enjoy the same rights as straight-o potatoes. I want to get your reaction to this historic decision by the California Supreme Court. As I've told you over the course of the program today, as I traveled to Montana, I knew that this decision was going to be handed down, and I did not expect it to favor same-sex couples. Ron George is the state Supreme Court justice, and I find him to be a fairly conservative guy, but he's a man who does read the law. I don't believe he's one of those activist judges often derided by Republicans, including most recently John McCain. But I think that this is an important breakthrough. It also presents some political complications, because we know that the right-wing Christians have already got the signatures to qualify a ballot measure for this November. It'll be on the same ballot with the presidential campaign. It will be used as a wedge issue. And in California, we can count on the people behind the orange curtain there in Orange County to solidly support a ban on same-sex marriage. And it was Bill Dannemeyer. You remember him? He went out of office in 1992, but he served as a congressman from Orange County for 15 or 20 years. And he was a proud member of that Bible-thumping Neanderthal wing of the Republican Party. And when he was running for the U.S. Senate from California in the primary in 1992, it was one of those times when I registered Republican so I could vote against him. And at the time, I interviewed him on several occasions during that campaign. And he would always use the phrase in this patronizing, condescending way, "Oh, Peter, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." And I'll never forget that. And Steve, Adam, if you're out there, give me a call. 888-5-PETER-B. And it's interesting, I was just thinking during the break, I'm not aware of any openly gay people who regularly call the program. And so if you are and you haven't, now's your time to step up. I'd like to hear your comments at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Drew in Monterey, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, why are you pinning all this on the Christians not wanting gay marriage approved? I mean, Muslims, Hindus, basically every religion around the world has the same view. So why are you just saying it's the Christian right who's going to oppose this?
Because that is the fact, the political fact in California. Brian, you need to use the pan. There you go. If you pan him, I think, to the left, that'll take care of it. But that's my point, Drew, that it's not Muslims, it's not, Jewish people, it's really Christian evangelicals who are active in the Republican Party who have been working so hard to pass and maintain a ban on gay marriage.
Okay, but Peter, do you think that when the people of California voted to ban gay marriage, you think it was only Christians, or do you think the Hindus and the Muslims and the other religious people in the state were voting against it also?
I can't say.
You see, the court has overruled the will of the people, and do you think that's a healthy precedent for our courts
Yes.
to be doing?
Yes, I do. Because the court ruled on the Constitution, not on a moment in time when a kind of fervor was whipped up for political purposes.
Okay, what part of the Constitution supports their decision?
Equal protection.
Equal protection.
Yes, citizens are entitled to equal protection under the law. Now, Drew, to be fair, it's a 172-page decision, and I haven't seen it yet. So I will, first of all, acknowledge that you have an interesting point there, and I will also say that once I've had a chance to read the ruling and fully digest it and understand the implications, I'll probably have more to say about it. But on the surface, I fully support this, and while I understand your point that not just Christians voted for this, it was promoted for political purposes by right-wing Christian groups in California and in other parts of the country. Thanks for your call today. We're going to take a break and return. I've got another half hour, and I welcome your phone calls, particularly if you are a gay person. I'd like to know your thoughts about this Supreme Court decision. 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 1-888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco, but Katrina Rill, the producer, is here in Missoula, Montana with me. And Brian Urban is at the controls in San Francisco. More of your calls in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers for alcohol and drug treatment. Go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
For me, it started in the fields. It started seeing people sick and dying from pesticide poisoning. I'm Bill Monning. I'm a candidate for Assembly today because working together, I know we can make a difference. I brought growers, workers, and neighbors together to take on the chemical companies. That fight took me to Sacramento, where I helped pass bills that have protected workers, rural residents, and our environment. I'm Bill Monning. Working with people to improve our lives and build our community is what is most important to me. For the past 35 years, I've raised a family here, taught at the Monterey Institute and the Monterey College of Law, and worked to build mediation alternatives to legal disputes. My latest project is bringing conflict resolution into our schools to keep kids from resorting to violence. Now I want to take those mediation skills to get things done in Sacramento. Join our campaign. To volunteer for Monning for Assembly, call 655-1792 or check our website, billmonning.org. Paid for by Bill Monning for Assembly.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yabba dabba doo. 33 minutes after the hour, I'm Peter B., live from Missoula, Montana, and the studios of our affiliate AM 930 KMPT. I've got lines open in the free speech zone. Want to hear your comments on the Supreme Court decision overturning the California ban on same-sex marriage. Know any guys or girls ready to tie the knot this weekend?
It's 2 a.m.
It's the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And according to my screen here, Oxy Johnny's on the line. Johnny, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
How do, Peter?
How you doing, my man?
I'll tell you one thing. I know your politics now. You got there a band, I think, named Golden Earring. You don't got to be Freud to figure out that. and then you got Freddie Goes to Hollywood. You know what the hell Frankie does in Hollywood?
That was Frankie.
Down in Hollywood, a man lays with another man with a good haircut. I don't care what's going on. What's going on in California? The heat got to these guys' heads over there. Them activist judges acting crazy.
Now, let me ask you, Oxy, what's your intake today? And after you heard the Supreme Court decision, did you reach for your pills?
Well, I put them up in a blender today with made a margarita out of OxyContin because it's hot down here in California today. I'm just going to bolt the doors. You never know, the homosexuals would come here trying to marry me because I'm still a fairly handsome fella, middle-aged, but keep them together. Now, let me tell you. This is crazy talk because the Bible says in there, I'm not very studious, but a man shall not live with another man. There you go right there.
Okay? Yeah. And that's the beginning and end of it? The Bible says it, therefore that's it.
That's not the beginning and. This is the start. We need to implement more Bible. First, no homosexuals can get married. Second of all, we're going to keep moving week by week. Pretty soon, anybody who works on Sunday, they get stoned. It says that right there in the Bible. You throw rocks at them. And then you can't use the word Thursday. I don't use it. I say the day after Wednesday or the day before Friday because that is named after the god Thor, and thou shalt not have any false gods. So it might be a little confusing on the calendar. There's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and like a blank thing, and Friday. But that's what we're going to shoot for next. And then, you know, you can't use a doorknob on Saturday. It's kind of a machine. So if you want, so that's what we're starting, and we're moving right through all of that.
Uh-huh. Well, Johnny, tell me, what threat is it to you if two men or two women want to commit to one another for life? Why do you care, and what difference does it make to a straight-o potato like you?
Well, that's putting it good, Peter, but I tell you what. Well, the first thing is, I don't want to see this. Everybody go around. At the wedding, will this bride take this groom? This groom take the, how's it going to work out? Who's going to wear a tuxedo? And who's going to wear the dress, first of all?
So it boils down to a fashion problem for you.
Well, that's where it starts, I tell you. It's a fashion problem. Then, you know, it's just an instant. What are children going to think nowadays if they go out there and they say that it used to be men and women, there you go, and then all of a sudden it's Fred and Fred or Sally and Sally, and how is that going to work?
Well, it works fine for the people who decide that's the way they want to live. What's it to you, dude?
Well, what about the people in the state of California? I do remember a couple, 2-3 years ago, and there's going to be another one on the ballot soon. They said, we do not want the homosexuals to get married.
Well, that's what the Supreme Court overturned today. They decided that even though voters embraced it and passed it by a majority, that it's unconstitutional, Johnny.
But what about the will of the peoples?
Well, the Constitution is superior to the wheels of the people, as you put it.
I think the wheels of the people should have something to say. We're going to, like I said, we're going to keep voting for other good stuff, you know.
Do me a favor, Johnny. Promise that you won't get behind the wheels and run over any people while you're loaded on OxyContin, okay?
All right. Well, I just want to put my 2 cents in. I tell you, I got some more ice and I got to blend this up. But I tell you what, Peter, I got a slogan for you before I go.
What's that?
That's a new California slogan. Peter B. Freedom isn't free. Peter B. Now you can marry me. I got to go.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Peter.
I think. Well, there you have a beautiful bird's eye view into the twisted mind of Oxy Johnny. Oxy Johnny is played by Johnny Steele, our friend and comedian who appears around the Bay Area on a regular basis. Brian, you got that song ready? Let's listen to a little bit of Roy Zimmerman. This one's called Defenders of Marriage.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, two people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? It's so deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage, canoe.
real narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic. Patriarchs, defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
One summer evening when my wife.
All right, that's enough. Thank you, Brian. That's Roy Zimmerman. Visit his website at royzimmerman.com. Also, search for him at YouTube. He's got some great videos up there. That's from his CD called Faulty Intelligence. And my favorite little phrase in there is connubial narcs. Yeah. Yeah, marriage police. People who are out there saying, well, it's okay for you, Mitt Romney, and Mrs. Romney to be married because marriage is between one man and one woman. Has anybody told Warren Jeffs? Anybody told the polygamists in San Antone? Well, I guess they're getting the message. 888-5-PETER-B, we're taking your phone calls. Dave in Eureka, thanks for calling us. You're on the air, Dave.
Hey, Peter, I felt the need to talk to my number one radio guru who's in Montana. I've never talked to you in Montana before.
I have never been to Montana before, so I'm happy to be available for you, Dave.
Yeah, well, you've been dancing all around the main question that I've been pondering, and that is, what the hell business is it of mine if two females or two males want to get married? Why is that anything to be of any concern at all to me? You've been asking the same question. I think I got an answer.
Well, Dave, I think that you and I should defer to one of the great moral authorities in America today, and that is the former senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum. Because he's the one on the Senate floor just a few years ago who said that if we permit men to marry men and women to marry women, that it's going to lead to people marrying dogs or plants or telephone poles.
Well, the answer that I have come up with, Peter, is that these are people who feel a desperate need to prove to the world how straight they are. And I ask, why do you need to prove how straight you are? I do ask that question, and I don't usually get an intelligent answer. Why does people need to prove how straight they are? They question how straight they are, I think.
Well, that's why, even though Johnny, Oxy Johnny is a satire, the question I put to him is, you know, what's it to you? What difference does it make if people decide who they want to embrace, commit to, and live their lives with?
Yeah, what business is it of yours or mine what two other people want to do with their life? You know, if there's not harm, they're not doing harm to each other, then, you know.
Right. Well, we do have some issues, too, that have surfaced where because same-sex marriage is now legal in Massachusetts, there are people who get married there, move to other states, and then they break up. And we don't have a structure for same-sex marriage dissolution. And I think that that is one issue, even though it's kind of on the downside, if you will, of the marriage question itself. I think that's just another area where the civil rights of homosexuals must be at the same level of the civil rights of heterosexuals, and that includes marriage itself and ending a marriage if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, well, I guess that's going to threaten somebody's sense of what it's all about. Anyway, your phone hookup back and forth across the planet results in some strange sounds. But
yeah, that's true, Dave. But we're working through it, and I thank you for calling today. Steve in Salinas is next in the Free Speech Zone here. You can join us, too, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, well, yeah, Mike, I had that same question plus another comment. Oh, you know, how does Hank and Frank getting married, how does that hurt me? But I think after a while that same-sex marriages might turn out better than heterosexual marriages because the people are going to have more things to do in common. take a stereotype, for example. How often you want to go shopping with your wife when she wants to look for shoes? Where if two women get together, they might want to go shopping for shoes together.
Well, I can only tell you that I once was I was induced to go to the Manolo Blahnik shoe salon in New York City, and it was quite a trip. There was more security there than you would find at a high-end jewelry store, and they had these itty-bitty pumps that were selling for $400 to $800 a pair.
I hope you didn't buy any.
I didn't buy any. You're right. Yeah.
But I think after, you know. At first, there might be some people getting married just because they can and rush into it. But after a while, I think those marriages might last longer because they can have more things they can do together.
Well, I think that's possible, and I think that we have to see how that works out over time, Steve. I really can't say. I'm not a sociologist. But I think your point is that by precluding same-sex couples from marrying, we don't have that evidence, and we don't know what the long-term benefits, and I think they will be mostly benefits, will be of extending the rights that heterosexuals are entitled to homosexuals. I just think that is a very fundamental concept of fairness and tolerance under our Constitution.
Okay. Thank you.
Steve, before you go, I wanted to let you know that on the air I made a correction to a comment that you and I exchanged about a week ago, and you are correct that Scott, I can't remember his name, the new U.S. attorney in San Francisco, you and I had a conversation, and you said that this guy, Scott Schools, is the new U.S. attorney, and I said you were wrong, and I was wrong.
Okay, I think it might have been another Steve.
Oh, okay. Well, we got more than one Steve and plenty of Adams out there, too.
Yeah, there's at least three Steves in Salinas.
Okay. Well, then hopefully the other Steve has heard this, but I do like to acknowledge when other people are right and correct the record when it's necessary. Thank you, Steve.
Sure thing. Bye.
Line one, Jake and Eureka, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing all right.
Hey, I was going to bring up the issue of what George Bush had to say today in Israel. He accused Barack Obama of appeasement, and ironically, George W. Bush brought up the issue of appeasement of the Nazis, which I find incredibly galling considering the fact that I'm sure as many of your listeners are aware, George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was not only an appeaser of the Nazis, he was a collaborator. And it just enrages me to watch an idiot like Bush get out there daily and make statements about how he's trying to show his solidarity with the troops by not playing golf, for instance. I mean, why wasn't this guy impeached a long time ago, Peter B.?
Oh, I wish I could answer that for you, Jake. But there's an interesting spinoff from this appeasement comment that started with Bush. And I will not be able to indulge in my television viewing tonight because I've got some events here in Missoula. But if you have a chance to catch Hardball on MSNBC, I have a transcript here from a website that allows me to say something nice about Chris Matthews. He had a right-wing radio host who I've seen on there before, a guy named Kevin James. He works for a Christian station, I believe, in Los Angeles. And he was there repeating administration talking points, saying that Barack Obama is an appeaser. And I'm reading here, Matthews pressed James at least 19 times over 5 minutes to simply explain what Neville Chamberlain had done in 1938 and 1939 to make him an appeaser. And James didn't have a clue. It says here he could only shout his talking point over and over, prompting Matthews to threaten to end the interview. Wow, he went to Bill O'Reilly zones there. And here's just a quick exchange. Matthews, you don't know what you're talking about, Kevin. You know you don't know what you're talking about. Tell me what Chamberlain did wrong. James, Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser. Chris, Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser. All right. I've been sitting here 5 minutes asking you to say what the president was referring to in 1938 at Munich. Anyway, it goes on. And if you want to check it out, it should be on MSNBC tonight. You can probably find the clip on the web.
Thanks, Peter B. Hey, I would like to remind the listeners what Colin Powell just recently said. Colin Powell said that it is necessary that we engage Hamas. After all, the Palestinians just had a democratic election and Hamas won, okay? Those are the representatives of the Palestinian people. If we're going to come to any kind of equitable, realistic peace agreement, we have to talk to Hamas. We have no choice.
Well, I certainly agree. And if we are the beacon and bastion of freedom and democracy, and we were asked by the Fatah leaders in Palestine if they should go forward with the elections that did bring Hamas into the majority, and we said yes. And then when Hamas won, we joined with Israel to freeze funds that Israel flows through to the Palestinians. We supported the lockdown of Gaza and the West Bank. And we have acted as if the democratic election that brought Hamas to power is somehow offensive. And, you know, we've got to just ignore it or work around it. And it's just another episode and example of the rank hypocrisy of this administration. Jake, thanks for your call. We're going to run to a break. There's room for another call or two, so if you have a comment about the gay marriage ruling or anything else in the news, give us a call. Lines are open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm in Missoula. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off with a new problem in Salinas. Encinal Road at Old Stage Road, an accident where a car went off the roadway, landed in a ditch. CHP's on the way. King City, South 101 before Central Avenue. A broken down truck with a horse trailer. That's partially blocking the right-hand lane. Once the tow truck shows up, they're going to shut down that lane completely, so expect delays there. For Castroville, Salinas Road at Merritt Street, big rig in a car. That's been cleared off to the right-hand shoulder. Up in Scotts Valley, Mountain Charlie Road at Glenwood Drive, a two-car crash. And for Monterey County, better news, Laurelis Grade Road south of Highway 68. Fires in the area have been extinguished, and lanes should be reopening. PG&E is on the scene trying to restore power. Several intersections may still be blacked out. This is brought to you by Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue is doctor-recommended to eliminate flakes and itch and contains aloe and moisturizers to keep both your hair and scalp healthy. Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
It's the Peter B. Show.
I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. Sick and tired of the dirty little war. I can't take it no more. You know you lied about the KGB. You know you lied about the WFD. You know you lied about the detainees. All over this world.
That's John Fogerty, a powerful protest song called I Can't Take It No More. Peter B. Collins here. We're originating from Missoula, Montana today. We'll do it again tomorrow, and we'll be here in our regular time slot. Also on tomorrow's program, we've got a lot of great guests scheduled, and I had a note about it, and it's right here. Thank you, Katrina. Dr. Alan Rabinowitz will kick off our show tomorrow. He is the Director for Science and Exploration for the Bronx Zoo-based Wildlife Conservation Society, and he's traveled extensively around the world, including to Myanmar or Burma, and so we're going to talk about various issues with him. That's at the beginning of our program tomorrow as we originate again from Missoula. And we got Billy on the line from Capitola. Thanks for your call, Billy. You're on the air.
Hey, buddy. You know, one of the things we've been doing wrong, obviously, is letting people into this country that we shouldn't, not protecting our borders properly. Can we keep Bush out?
Oh, that's a delightful thought.
So my question is about this court, this decision today. Is that a Republican-leaning court?
It is.
I'm very paranoid. The fact that these decisions only come down in election years in order to get out the conservative vote. I think we just lost the vote with this one.
Well, I did reference that, Billy, and it is a complication of the timing of this decision. And, of course, the origins of this decision were Gavin Newsom's challenge by permitting... he, of course, is the mayor of San Francisco, and for a brief period of time, a few years back, he permitted same-sex couples to get marriage licenses and marry each other in San Francisco. And that's what precipitated the ballot measure and this legal challenge that was resolved today in a way that I favor. But clearly, you have a point. The political implications of providing a wedge issue like this in a presidential year are not lost on me.
Yeah, I mean, I love the decision. It's just the timing. Boy, if it had come down in January, I'd be happy as a clam. But, boy, at this point, it's scary again because these people were getting ready to stay home.
Yeah, you have a good point, and we're just going to have to play it out. And we know it will make the ballot, and it's going to be a very divisive debate, and it's going to put a new challenge on Barack Obama as he attempts to appeal to voters outside of the Democratic base. And clearly, this is something that the Republican opponents will be using against the Democrats this year. Thanks, Billy. Let's jump to Thomas in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling, Thomas. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. My call kind of fits right into Billy's call.
Go ahead, Thomas. I was hearing you, and then you stopped.
Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, it's just a funky connection, so keep talking, okay?
Okay, well, I was just saying that my call kind of fits into Billy's and what you said today in Israel about returning countries to their rightful owners. Well, you can go to Hawaii on the way back from Israel and free Hawaii, and then... if we're not going to let him back in the U.S., maybe they'll allow him in the sovereign nation of Hawaii.
Well, he could also stop off at the new ranch in Paraguay because they don't have extradition treaties with the United States. Stephen, thanks for your, or Thomas, thanks for your call. We got a feedback there from your cell phone. So let me jump to Pat in Redwood City. Hi, Pat. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. I just wanted to comment about Bush's silly comments about appeasing Hitler.
Yeah.
I just want to say that we should all realize that Hitler was a fascist, and so is Bush. But before anybody gets upset that I am drawing a comparison between Bush and Hitler, I just want to say that in no way is Bush comparable to Hitler. I mean, Bush has not successfully invaded any country in the world. Forgive my, tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yeah, I understand, and it's a bit of a stretch to try to invoke Nazism and the Holocaust at the time of Israel's 70th anniversary. I mean, these are complex issues that have deep history, and the context is rarely provided to contemporary audiences that hear this kind of drivel, you know, comparing Democrats to those who appeased the Nazis. It's really offensive on every level. It's offensive to Israel. It's offensive to Americans and to the Democrats who are the target of those comments. Pat, thanks for checking in. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again tomorrow from Missoula, Montana. I hope you'll join us. We'll have a great show lined up for you. You can grab a podcast of this program and share it with a friend. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. Thanks again to Brian Urban in San Francisco, Katrina Rill here in Missoula, and our host Dave Cowan at radio station KMPT AM 930. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Same-sex couples are celebrating in California. The state's highest court has thrown out laws banning gay marriage, saying a person's capacity to establish a loving and long-term committed relationship does not depend on sexual orientation. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports on Reaction.
At San Francisco City Hall, hundreds of gay and lesbian couples gather to celebrate their victory and to listen to Mayor Gavin Newsom.
What a day in San Francisco! What a day for America!
But not everyone is happy. Bill May is with Catholics for the Common Good.
I'm dismayed, disappointed. The court just overturned the will of the people and also turned their backs on every child that needs a mother and a father.
The court's ruling goes into effect in 30 days. Steve Futterman, CBS News, outside the state Supreme Court in San Francisco.
Opponents of gay marriage are already working to get a ban written into the state constitution. It was a speech marking Israel's 60th anniversary, but President Bush used his appearance before the Israeli parliament to attack Democrats back home, whom he said seemed to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and the radicals.
We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
Barack Obama considered it an attack on him for saying he'd be willing to talk with Iran's President Ahmadinejad. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed is traveling with the president.
A White House spokesman denied that Obama was the target. But when John McCain jumped into the fray, there was no doubt where he was aiming.
Why does Barack Obama, Senator Obama, want to sit down with a state sponsor of terrorism? It is a serious error on the part of Senator Obama. It shows naivete and inexperience.
In a written statement, Obama said it was sad that the president would use the celebration of Israel's 60th anniversary to launch a false political attack.
Some also saw the